Now, let's look at this question. Big story this week, Tony, was the sugar tax that's been announced by the government. First of all, what actually do they mean by sugar tax? What are they proposing?
Well, what the government want to do is they want to introduce a levy onto soft drinks. So what they want to do is introduce this levy from about 2018, and it's to do with the amount of sugar per litre or per 100 mils that's in soft drinks. So they want to tax the industry, which means that there'll be, I think it's around 5 grams per 100 mils at a lower level, and I think 8 grams per 100 mils is the higher level, and it's sort of in that region. Now, this is the idea that they want to try and tackle our consumption of soft drinks, because we've got a lot of evidence to show now that actually sugar-rich drinks not only are bad for your teeth and dental health, but actually what they tend to do is they undermine your appetite control. So the liquid calories that you have in soft drinks don't seem to register very well that you've consumed them. And if you consume excess calories and liquid calories, you consume more calories, you gain weight. So they
We did a demo on this program, actually, where Giles Yeo, who works on how the brain decodes how much energy you're taking into your body, gave me a bunch of apples and said, you're going to eat the number of calories that have gone into what I'm going to drink, and we're going to see who gets there first. He drank the equivalent of the apples as juice. I had to eat them. He finished off half a pint of apple juice, and that was the equivalent of six apples. I'd managed two apples in the time it took us to do that. And I mean, that's the point he's making. It's very easy to put a lot of calories in very quickly.
It's really easy to consume excess calories in that liquid form. So, of course, looking at our concern around obesity and overweight, this is one of the ways that we want to try and create an environment that perhaps makes soft drinks less desirable.
Haven't people always eaten sugar, Tony? This isn't a new thing. We've had sugar, people eating honey and so on for thousands of years.
We have, but I think it's much more prevalent. You know, if you look at the number of processed foods we have, you look at the availability of soft drinks, sugar-rich drinks, you know, we've got them readily available in supermarkets, open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's really easy to get those kind of high sugar type foods and drinks. In terms of the sugar tax, it's actually really difficult to know when they roll it out what the impact will be. So one of the things that might happen is that manufacturers may be encouraged to reformulate their soft drinks, which would then sort of get them down to a lower tax levy.
One politician said all it'll do is encourage some people to switch to cheaper, nastier brands that are cheaper to start with, but with just as much sugar. But even with the levy on, they then become the price of the more expensive brand they preferred before.
It's really difficult to know how it's going to roll out, because the other way is that actually what might happen is the industry may absorb that tax increase, and what you'll see is that there may even be an increase on all drinks across that product range.
They'll say, we know it's bad, we're just going to make you live with it because you like it.
So that may result in a sort of, you know, if all the soft drink prices go up, that may result in sort of some people perhaps not choosing them.
If we look at other things? Because we've had the salt lobby have tried to get down the amount of salt in food. We've also had fairly punitive taxes in some countries applied to things like cigarettes and alcohol. Is there any evidence these sorts of sort of carrot and stick manoeuvres work?
I think there was some evidence. I mean, I know that they cite stories a lot from Mexico, where they introduced this sugar tax. And I think there was some evidence that in some groups of the population, you did get people not buying them and perhaps choosing the diet versions. And I think for it to work, I think really actually what the public need to see is a really clear price differentiation between the high sugar drinks and the no sugar drinks. And once you see that, it begins to make the choice a lot more obvious. So how this will roll out in reality, we don't know. But I think one of the important things is actually good surveillance, so that we can monitor what the kind of consumption patterns are over the next few years. And that's one of the things that we do in our unit, actually. We do one of the nutrition surveys. So it's difficult to know. But what we have to remember, actually, is this is just one part of tackling the obesity epidemic. It's not the solution, but actually if we have a whole range of things, eventually it helps create that better environment that helps encourage people to make better choices, because it's really difficult for individuals. You know, we're living in an environment that makes it so easy to choose and consume these foods.
It sadly does. Chris?
Yeah, this might open up a can of worms. Are diet drinks any more safe than normal sugary drinks?
I think what you might be thinking about is there was there have been some studies. I think there was a particularly notable one that was carried out somewhere in Italy in rats, looking at artificial sweeteners and whether actually excessive amounts of artificial sweeteners may cause or increase the risk of cancer. I think what they found was that they did see this increase with the artificial sweeteners in this cancer risk. But you have to remember that the rats were kind of given these sort of doses of carcinogens, which put them at risk of developing cancer anyway. And I can't quite remember, but I think it was something like the rats were drinking an equivalent of about 300 cans of Coke a day, which wasn't quite the realistic or the way that you would replicate right. it in a human study. So I think there was some evidence, but not enough.
Tony, thank you very much. You're listening to The Naked Scientists with me, Chris Smith, and also in the studio, Ben Pilgrim, who is a chemist, Chris Basu, who is a vet and a zoologist, Tony Steer, who's a nutritionist, and Dave Ansell, who's our guest physicist. So, Dave,